Get Pucked. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Get Pucked podcast. Vito, Matt, and Dave here with you this time. And we are jacked. I don't know about you guys. Game last night, something happened. Something magical happened. The Habs won. They won. 0-8 in the preseason. I know a lot of people say that don't mean shit, but it was 0-8. And then the game won against the Leafs. You were looking at a lineup that iced four rookies on defense. Not one, not two, not three, four. And yet here we come to day after, massive game. Cole Caulfield, two goals, unbelievable. Monahan, birthday boy, gets a goal first as a Hab two, and the power horse himself puts the nail in the coffin with 18 seconds left. Tell me how you feel, gentlemen, after last night's game.
Dave, you go ahead, start it up. You weren't there last episode, start it up, man.
How else can you feel? I mean, you feel cautiously optimistic. Look, I mean, it's exactly what you want to see. It's exactly what you wanted to see. It's probably as good as it could have gone for the Habs, but I mean, I don't think it means anything. I think it's exciting. I think this team is always going to be better than the tank job that we saw last year. I think a lot of factors went into that that tank job. Are they a playoff team? I don't think so. Not with that goaltender and that back end, but it's exciting to see them progress as a unit. And if you could see what I like most about yesterday is they weren't punished for their mistakes. They weren't, you know what I mean? Like, it was clear that the same Marty St. Louis style was present this year, and that you didn't translate to a lot of wins last year, but I'm hoping it does this year a little bit more at least. But that was an entertaining game, and that's what you can ask for now. I think that they're going to shock people in the sense that they're going to be a lot better. I mean, I spoke about it before on this podcast about how Sean Monahan is just, you know, I think he was a great acquisition, and I think that he's going to really bring it, and he brought it again yesterday. So I'm excited to see what happens and to see where this leads to. But you know, they're not world beaters just because they beat the Leafs. I mean, for the past seven out of the last nine, I think
it is a little sweeter though that they beat the Leafs.
No, I know, but it's seven out of the last nine openers that were the Toronto, Montreal, like were a goal difference. So no matter how the teams are, it always seems to be this type of game, you know. So I want to see them play against other teams and see how it goes.
It's just recency history kind of like in my mind that last year they played and it was like a good first game. Like everybody was like, that was a good first game. They lost, but it was a good first game. And then it was just like right off the cliff right after. This one was an even better game, more exciting game, energized, crowd was in it, everything was rolling. And like, you were still like, win or lose, man. Win or lose, pipe in 81 more of these bad boys right into my veins. Like, it was just fun. It was a fun night.
I was going to say that. I mean, literally, it was up back and forth. It was entertaining. There was a penalty shot. There was a few hits. There was everything that you could want for. Whoever paid to ticket to that game got their money's worth out of that game.
And Vito got to see Carey Price in a cowboy hat. It must have been an exciting time for him.
Very exciting. Very emotional. Very sad, honestly. I'm not ready to say goodbye to the guy. And I feel like he's not ready to say goodbye, but unfortunately, it's going to come down to that.
Well, I think the news came out, right? I mean, I think basically there was an interview or something.
Yeah. You saw I think he explained it's in the joint of his knee. There's even like a hole, and there's like a 75% success rate for the surgery that he could potentially do, but it could affect his quality of life. His back is affected. His knee,
his ankle is
affected. His hip, his ankle. Like you could tell him and Shea Weber gave it everything they got on that last run, and it took everything from them. And also,
it's a sad thing, but it was a beautiful ovation. I wasn't personally a huge fan of how they had to walk down that weird, like alleyway and then stand there and like, you know, do their thing and then have to walk back. I would have liked a red carpet to be out with the boys personally, but
I had tweeted at first, I'm like, nobody does it better than Montreal in terms of like a home opener. And then it just dragged on. I was like, okay.
It's historically a little bit long. I won't say tacky. I know I read sometimes some people. Yeah. I know one particular guy on Twitter last night, I forgot his name already, but he was like losing his mind with how long this was going. What are they going to thank the concession guys next? Like, okay, I get it. It's a little long. But you know what? It's part of what we do. It's part of the opening experience. It's fun. It's exciting. I would have just liked, especially knowing with Carey and his situation, he stood there a little bit longer. He tipped the hat. It was a bigger ovation. It was beautiful. It's just, it felt a little bit cheapened by the fact that he had to turn around and walk himself back to let the team come out. Like, why not just let them stand out there? What, like, what would it have done? They're all out there together. They all give the salute, and then, you know, he can walk off again. That's my only gripe with it. Small gripe, but that's my whole piece. Dave?
Nah, keep these guys away from the team. They're not on the team. Get them out of here.
God damn it.
Wow.
He's on IR, Dave. He's still on the team.
I want to go back to the kids for a second, whatever. Guys. I'm going to mention a couple of names, and I want you to try to figure out what this all means, okay? So Austin Matthews, Kaprizov, Lindholm, Cole Caulfield, Jason Robertson.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think this all means, those five names?
Can I answer even though I know the answer? Like, I knew this ahead of time, I think. Are they the ones that scored the most goals since Martin St. Louis took over as head coach?
Yes. Good job. I guess
I'm piped in, baby.
So since Marty St. Louis took over, since February 10th, 2022, Cole Caulfield is fourth, or tied for fourth with Jason Robertson, for most goals scored. This kid has been lights out since Marty St. Louis joined the team and became the coach. And you saw tonight that it's just you could tell there's even another level to this kid's game. And while I don't think he's ever going to be that type of player that's going to carry a team, he's probably going to be one of the most exciting players that we've had since PK Subban. That's what I'm going to say.
Look, I mean, he almost had a hat trick, right? If he hadn't muffed on that, two-on-one with Suzuki earlier in the game, he can shoot the puck as good as anyone, right? And it just goes to show, you know, the talent that he has. It just how long. Well, right now he's kind of a new commodity, and I like to wait and see approach on this in terms of, like, when are the other teams going to, you know, when the book is out on him and people start focusing in on him, and all of a sudden, you know, they got their best D on him every night and the goalies have a whole scouting report on him, how it's going to be. But I'm optimistic, man. Caulfield can score, could put up a ton of goals, and I think that especially under Marty St. Louis, he could fly.
His shot is so deceptive that even if they get a scouting report on him and the goalies try to position themselves, he just finds another angle. He finds these little spots behind it. That's an elite trait of his.
But it's reminiscent of when he went on Twitter, didn't he? Isn't this from the playoffs against Vegas where he basically called his shot against Leonard? Didn't he? Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember this? Where he's like, his gloves, I'm going to go glove side, and he does it. Something to that effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that that's an everyday, all the time occurrence. I think Dave's right. I mean, right now he is still a little green. He's still, you know, making the name for himself and showing that massive precision that he has with his shot. But he is, in fairness, you got to say it is what it is. He's a short king, and he will get muscled around more for sure. And we just got to hope that he is strong enough and has the tenacity to get through these players and get into positions to rifle it like he does.
Well, okay, last night, besides Cole Caulfield, and I mean, Nick Suzuki was also, he was on. Oh, yeah. Damn it, Dave, you have him in your fantasy pool. But who else impressed you from the Montreal Canadiens?
Brendan Gallagher.
Did he have a gear or what, that guy last night?
Brendan Gallagher impressed the shit out of me. He's been saying it for weeks now that he is finally healthy again. And I don't know if this is going to last all season. If track record is if any indication, it likely won't. But he's ready, man. He was fast.
I was a little concerned for a second.
But look how he bounced back. He's made of rubber. I mean, like, it was smashed. I was like, ooh. And then right away, I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's cool.
Yeah, but you know, it's Brendan Gallagher. Give him some time. So a puck's going to hit him in an awkward way. He's going to get high stakes.
It was just so... It was such a stark contrast to him of last year. That's what.
Well, I think he's healthy, right? I think that you're finally seeing—not finally, but I mean, like, for the first time in a while—you're seeing a truly healthy, rested Brendan Gallagher. And I think that, you know, you kind of hope for his sake that his health, stays up. And I know we made a lot of fun of Vito last year for his goal prediction on Brendan Gallagher, but there's hockey left in Brendan.
If he makes us eat crow on that, I will be so mad.
Oh, there will be a whole episode about it. A whole episode.
But for me, it was Sean Monahan. No secret here. I think that I really, really saw, like, when you have a hip injury, it's always tough to come back, and you always wonder, like, does he have his game? But he looked like he had his game yesterday. Yeah, can he do it every night? That's going to be the question. To me, that's why it's cautiously optimistic in every regard. It's great for somebody to come into a pack, well, kind of packed Bell Center on opening night and perform as they did. Can you do it when you're playing Buffalo on a Friday night? And you know what I mean? Like that's what I want to see. And fair. I think it's important. And then also, you know, probably the reins are off a little bit still for Martha St. Louis. Eventually he's going to have to tighten that in, you know, to try to win games. And can you still perform at a level like that? So that those are the question marks, but Sean Monahan and Caden Gooley for playing.
Caden Gooley, baby. Oh, he's my second.
I'm Dave.
Did that kid look good?
Man, just for he didn't look exceptional. He just looked like an NHLer.
He looked like he belonged.
That's what you want. That's what you want from a guy who's playing his very first NHL game.
Very first NHL game. Most time on ice for all defensemen on the team.
Yeah.
He literally had the most shorthanded time as well. He played like he was the veteran on that pair. You know, like he was paired with David Savard. He was great. He was mobile. He was fluid. Like I have no he's the guy who actually impressed me the most when you think about that it was his first game. And you wouldn't have
never
guessed that it was.
You wouldn't have been wrong. That's a great pick. Yeah, he played really.
I would
even
give an honorable mention to Jack Eye. He obviously didn't play as much, but you didn't notice him as much. So
really, you didn't notice him on a penalty shot. Really?
Well, okay.
I was actually disappointed in Jack Eye, and I
really.
Oh no.
You know me, I'm a big Jack Eye guy. I was expecting a little bit more. He got that big hit on that first shift, but there was times he looked. Not that I had great expectations for him, but there were times where he was exposed a little bit. And for a guy who, you know, not playing on the top line and not facing the big guys, I expected a little bit more from Jack.
But you know who I did like?
But again, first NHL game. So.
Yeah.
Kovacevic. He looks like a guy that would block like six shots in a row, have a busted ankle and still stay on the ice. He was just...
He skates well, man.
Big
he
guy. Very
good,
simple
big guy.
Game. Yep. Very simple, very smart decisions. Nothing crazy. He was just.
Yep.
I'm very surprised so far. I don't know him well enough, I'll be admittedly. But if this is his game and this is what we're going to get on a consistent basis, this is a good waiver claim. Now, TBD. You know, we'll see how it goes. It is the first game. Everybody's got that excitement. They're usually they're always pumped for this first game. But Kovacevic was. Pretty good. You got
to also factor in that he hasn't played with the team. Like wasn't this game one?
He didn't even practice
with them. Right? So you add that element also. Like this is just innate hockey skill, you know, system, whatever. Like this is just the guy being, you know, seemingly a pretty decent defenseman from what we saw
back
in this one game.
And back to Dave's point about Monahan is that if Monahan does find this game to the way that he was before, and not only is it good after that long recovery that he scored a goal on his birthday and all of that, it was like such a feel-good moment for the guy, but if he finds his game, there might be a possibility that he may want to stick around. A little too early to tell, but I really like what Monahan brings. Especially that you saw him playing on the wing, so there's that versatility there, but I really, really like what he can bring potentially and what he brought last night.
I would wait to make that claim. I like Monahan. I think I like Monahan when he played for Calgary. I like the player, but if he hits that, if he becomes that guy again, you got to think to yourself: he's 28 now. Where do you see yourself in the rebuild? Where do you see the team going? And he is going to probably be if he gets to that point now, he'll never be worth more than he's going to be at trade deadline this year, likely. So you're going to want to potentially factor that in. Like you can probably get yourself. Another first for sure, maybe something even more if he starts to become a close to a point of game guy.
We'll have to revisit this in a
few for months. Sure. That's what I'm saying. Well, I think it's a little
it's
early.
It's game one, right?
Yeah, it's early a little to do early anything. To start saying that.
What did you guys think about Slafkovský's game last night?
He gets like a C plus or a B minus. Like it was an okay game.
He drew a penalty, right? He was okay. I mean, look, obviously
he stopped potentially a goal too.
Yeah, you want to see, obviously, a bit of flash and a bit of that, which I don't think we saw really. But, I mean, again, first game and playing on the third, like, it's okay. It's fine.
It's like I had said last episode. Again, he had moments where he looked and said, okay, I could see what this guy has. And once he puts it all together, it could really work out.
I think he's on record as saying, too, that he was nervous up for at the beginning until he crashed into Gooley. Which I thought was also funny that he bumped Gooley and it was like he hit a goddamn Mack truck.
And Gooley
didn't even
move.
Gooley still takes the puck. Yeah, I know. But he said, the moment I bumped into Caden, he said, I kind of woke up. And I think it's true. I think you can mark that as the point where suddenly he came back in the game and he was a lot more calm, like more in control of what was happening. But it, you know, we got to be fair to the guy too, right? I mean, yes, he's first overall, and there's obviously expectations naturally. But bottom line, first game, his dad flew in. You know, it's the Bell Center that they're going nuts. There's
Richard Zednik came and saw him.
Zednik came to see him. I mean, so just, you know,
I feel like Zednik came to see all of Montreal in general. I can't remember the last time I saw Zednik on TV or anywhere.
Yeah, it was a really nice experience. I'm very happy that, in particular for the young guys, that they got to experience that as their first game, like not pandemic lockout, empty with nonsense, and they won. Okay, that was the true Montreal experience. Our highs are higher than anybody's highs. Our lows are probably lower than anybody's lows. And it was nice that their first game, their indoctrination to the Habs was that a regulation win. People going nuts, energetic, fun action. That to me was probably the perfect, like, welcome, guys. This is what we're all about.
They murdered Toronto in the neutral zone and on the transition game. Like,
Toronto played like shit.
The Leafs were awful. They were terrible. It was awful. And Matt Murray is, I mean, if that he is terrible. His glove hand is a joke.
Got a hole.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. He didn't even move on most of these goals. He doesn't have it, man. And how, again, you could be Kyle Dewis and say, yeah, let's go get Matt Murray. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all.
If Samsonov doesn't pull a rabbit out of his hat and becomes the guy that people hoped he would be, Toronto's in trouble in the goaltending position.
Well, that's it. Samsonov has to be the guy or else they're... Yeah. I mean, it's incredible to me. What we saw from Matt Murray yesterday was god-awful.
Their defense also... Jake Muzzin was real weak last night.
For sure.
I think Jake Muzzin's still playing hurt. I remember there was an interview a couple of weeks ago, or maybe at most it was a month ago, and he said it like he might still be hurt, but he'd be losing his position. Like, you know, there's players on the roster that are trying to play for his spot, and he didn't want to lose his position.
You know? I don't know if he'd ever come out and say that. That would be a weird thing to actually say.
Well, it is training camp, so yeah, everybody's going to say something, and it could be a cliche statement that there's always kids that are hungry to take the spot, right?
They just looked awful. Morgan Riley didn't have a great game either. No, like really, on that whole D was a mess yesterday. It's as if they had no preseason. It was as if I was watching like them for the first time play hockey since last year. It was very, very bad.
Like even Austin Matthews. I mean, he hit a post and all that, but I've seen him play.
Oh, he was shut down, man. He was shut down. Yeah, they shut him down.
Seemed out of it a little bit, you know, the whole Leafs thing. So I'm anxious to see what they could do again against other teams and also against the Leafs once they come back second time, you know.
Yeah, like I'm not concerned about the Leafs piling up wins this year. From an offensive perspective, they're gonna put goals. The concerns there is the same as it's been for a long time now. It's goaltending and it's gonna be their defense. The thing that drives me crazy when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I mean, listen, I don't like the Leafs, but at the same time, you gotta point out you've had Freddie Anderson and you had success with him, but still had a playoff issue there. You had Jack Campbell, you had some success, had a playoff issue there. You can't keep pulling. This is like the Philadelphia recipe where you have goalies that are number ones, let's say, and you're getting rid of them because they're not the ones who brought you to the promised land or brought you to another round of the playoffs. And in the end, you end up taking on the goaltenders like they did this year and be like, yeah, this is it.
Listen,
this is
gonna be the goalie. The only difference right now between Toronto and Montreal when it comes to the goalie position, because let's be frank, they're likely, you know, like the expectation in Toronto is they expect to win, like to go far. They had the team, they got all the points last year. They're starting the season with the expectation they're gonna get past that first round. The difference with us is, and their goalies are shit, our goalies are also not great. You have to be objective about it. I love Jake Allen. I mean, Montembeau, you know, I could take him or leave him necessarily, but that is not a great tandem. But there is no expectation on these guys. Everybody knows Montreal is going to be bad, right? So whatever they end up doing, there's no pressure there. And so that's going to wreak havoc on that team. I think no matter how many times the Habs get shellacked this year, you're going to be like, well, you know, look who we got. But no one's going to seem to care. Goalie issues are going to become a problem in 2-3 years if Primo doesn't make the step. If what's that kid? the other Dobbs. Is his name Dobbs? Yeah. Apparently he's quite the prospect. Where's he going to be coming? You know, that's eventually going to be an issue. Eventually.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Toronto is the issue for Toronto, really. I mean, and not to harp on the Leafs or anything, but it's just...
Oh, you can harp on the Leafs.
You mentioned of the recycling of goaltenders. Like, Freddie Anderson, he wanted a lot more money for what he was. And Jack Campbell, I mean, they would have kept Jack Campbell, I think, for sure, had he been reasonable and they could have afforded him. And they just couldn't, you know. They're cash-strapped. They're not very built very well cap-wise. And Kyle Dubas is on...
He's on the hot seat, man.
Very nice.
Well, I mean, okay, we're bringing up salary cap, and when you look at it, okay, how much did if you guys remember, how much did Jack Campbell get?
I don't remember, man.
Jack Campbell was paid $5 million a year. That's his cap. Okay. Five. Okay. They're paying Matt Murray. They're paying Matt Murray 4.687. And Samsonov is 1.8. So, I mean, technically speaking, they could have, if they wanted to, they could have kept Jack Campbell and go get
him. Yeah, but on the term, too, and everything, I don't know. To me, it didn't really make any sense for them to keep Campbell. I think that they moved on, but I thought that they would do way better than Matt Murray. That's for sure.
They have to understand that they're going to have to sacrifice one of those guys on their top two lines to go address other needs on that roster. They'll have to. They can't keep them all because they're always going to... They can't win every game 6-4.
Yeah.
Man, that's a Toronto problem. Let's bring this back home, baby. I could care less about Toronto, to be honest with you. I want to ask you a question. I know it's game one, but it's already out there and it's fun, and I'm curious to take what your guys' takes on it. You got people are out there that are like, upon Anderson scoring the goal, diehard Habs fans, taken to the streets yelling, no, we need to lose. What do you think about that?
There's 81 games. Shut up. We'll lose.
So it's not a concern.
Again,
like
I'm gonna go back to how I was at the beginning of last year when I said they're too good of a team to be last place. And last year, I mean, look at what happened, right? A million COVID injuries. Yeah. They were down to like their 19th string goaltender. They had to bring in the Hamburglar from 2003 to come goal for them. All right. It's just, it was ridiculous last year what happened. And, you know, it was a huge difference. They're too good to finish last place. Sorry, man. You look at a team like Chicago and Arizona, they're better than that, man. They're better than them. And yeah, so you just, they're gonna win games, and you barring a major injury or a long stretch of like a very huge slump that's uncharacteristic, they're gonna win games. They're gonna finish, you know,
but is it worth the mentality? Is it worth that thought? Like, should that be something that the Habs fans are like constantly thinking about? The season just started.
I think
Habs thinking about lottery fans, next year.
Yeah, but Habs fans just want,
you know what I mean?
They want to,
well, because you look at the team and you're what else can you cheer for? There's two things to cheer for. Well, three things. You could cheer for a Stanley Cup. You could cheer for a playoff run. I mean, if you're a team that, you know, is borderline, you just hope they make the playoffs and see what happens. Close your eyes, Mark Bergevin style, see what happens. Anything can happen in the playoffs. Or you're hoping for the draft lottery. What else are you going to hope for?
I mean,
like,
I
just, you obviously want to see good hockey. Like, that's not a thing that you hope for. That's the thing that you expect.
Yeah.
But I think that you hope, obviously, maybe to see development and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, most fans, they want to see a result at the end of the year. They don't want to say like, oh, what a good thing. Someone got in 66 games. And you know what I mean?
I don't disagree. I just find it hard to root against the team that I like, even for a draft lottery and stuff. Like, you want to see them win.
And
when it was 3-3 with 18 seconds left, I jumped out of my seat. I thought this was fantastic. They won the least. I mean, to even see people commenting like, no, they need to lose 82 straight games. This is bullshit. They need to
lose
Connor Bedard. Nobody's going to lose
82 straight games. Nobody's going
to
lose
82 straight games. But you know what I mean, right? Like, they want the team to lose. I can't understand how a fan would want the team that they cheer for to lose.
Well, that's why they need to reformat that whole lottery system. We will have a whole episode on that one day, I promise, because I have a great idea to do it. But at the end of the day, it's stupid. I would never, ever, you know, root for a team to lose, really, ever. It's not in you. That's not the purpose of sport. And that's why when you see, like, are the guys tanking the player. Like, these athletes, they don't tank, man. They don't tank. They just suck, you know?
I actually think that this team is going to surprise people. I know you named four teams out there that they're better than on paper for sure. No doubt. Arizona is perpetually shit. Chicago, they tore it completely down. They're unapologetic about it. They have Kane. That's it. Even Taves is not the guy he was. So they have Kane. That's about it. And then you go to Seattle. They're still very new. They're trying to figure it out. They're probably going to be worse also. But I mean, like, I can even see them being better than other teams that are trending upwards. I mean, it's possible. If they gel, if you get some decent goaltending from these two, if you see they're scoring four goals a game, three goals a game, whatever, and the kids somehow play like vets, this team could act. I'm not saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup. Do not misunderstand me. I'm just saying they could theoretically be 15th play, like the 15th from the bottom, the 12th from the bottom. Like, it's possible. And if that's the case, I mean, just enjoy the season then, guys. And then where the ball goes, it goes. And we'll see what happens.
Well, you're gonna have a lot of disappointed people for sure if they get to if they're between 12 and 15th. That is for sure.
Too bad. Who cares?
Too bad. I get that. Too bad. At this, like, these guys are not gonna purposely lose unless, you know. For you to have a team that's going to go and players that are going to purposely lose, it means you have a team full of bad characters. It's just not going to happen. So I can Montreal all gel and, you know, all the kids are motivated and all that. Yeah, they could gel. Things could work out. They could have some wins. But remember, there's a lot of young kids on this team who haven't played an 82-game schedule before in the NHL. So they're going to have moments where it's going to be rough for them. They're going to make mistakes on the ice. Some of those mistakes are going to cost they're going to cost goals. So you're just going to see certain players getting scratched. You have players like Dadonov and Hoffman that are just they're just, I don't even know how to say it, but they're mistake after mistake, really.
Who's and coming out for Drouin?
Pardon?
It's a good question.
Who's coming out for Drouin?
I don't know if you need to. You keep him in for now and keep the lineup as is and see where you go from there. Maybe. You know, I don't know.
I don't know.
And there's a bigger question for me on defense is what happens when Edmondson and Matheson get healthy and who gets impacted by that? And it's a shame if the young guys have to get bumped from the lineup and don't get that experience.
This year on defense is going to be a revolving door.
Well, they're going to be.
For whatever reason, there's going to be an injury after an injury. Because even now, Matheson's been put on IR and he's out till at least October 20th. But it's like
that's a week from now.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't look good so far.
It's two games from now.
No, I mean, I think frankly, shoot him in whatever. He'll be seventh or be sent back down. I can see Jack Eye going down for sure. I mean, he's not a bona fide standout 100% everyday NHLer yet, so he can go down. It'd be upsetting to see Jordan Harris go down, but he would be the next guy to go.
I don't think Jordan Harris is going down.
What? So Gouley's going down? You have Edmondson and you have Matheson coming back.
They're probably going to take Weidman out of the lineup before they take out either Harris or Gouley right now.
Gouley's not going anywhere. I don't think Jordan Harris either. Depending on, but again, like there could be long stretches where Jordan Harris just doesn't play well, and it warrants him going to Laval, which is fine. He's not the type of player that it's a disaster if he goes to Laval, right? Like, it's not like, oh my God, we really screwed up the Venom. Like, you know, when Kotkaniemi was put down to Laval, that was a mistake. You know, when Cole Caulfield was put down to Laval, arguably mistake. You could put Jordan Harris down there at Laval. I'll be okay with it. I think that's not part of his development.
But it's okay to scratch a player too for a night or two.
That's also true, but you don't want to scratch them for a while, though.
Yes. And how are you going to rotate them with a guy like Matheson or a guy like Edmondson? Yeah, you're going to rotate them out with Jordan Harris? Exactly. I don't think so.
Guys, injuries will happen this year.
He's not going to benefit by being the seventh guy sitting in the wing. Like, if he doesn't have a spot, he's got to go down and play. And I think it's better to send him down to Laval to get him reps and play big minutes than to have him sitting around and send Weidman down. You know what I mean? Like, and play third pairing, I mean. So it's just, I think it's inevitable.
I think there are defensemen that are going to be able to come in and out of the lineup if there's an injury or whatever the case may be. Where I think it's most concerning is at the goaltending position, because if Monty or Allen get hurt, then it's you're calling up Caden Primo, and then what happens to the Laval Rockets in terms of their goalies? And then it's like, and then if one of them get hurt, it's like it becomes a revolving door of crap. We're going back to
Hold on a second. You said something. I don't know if you said it as a joke or not, and I don't mean this to be mean, but who cares about the Laval Rocket? You know what I mean? If your two NHL goalies are going down, you're calling up their best goalie. Like, that's a fact. Primo's coming up.
I'm still not comfortable with Primo at the NHL level.
That's a whole other conversation. But, like, you can't concern yourself with what's going to happen to your farm team when you take their player because you have injuries. That's exactly their purpose.
My point to what I was saying there is that the depth at the goaltending position, even in Laval, is not good.
Fine. Understand? Yeah, fine. It's fine. But I think ultimately, once you get Edmondson and Matheson back, I mean, you're pretty fixed. Like, that's your decor. Like, Gouley will be the guy that's there too. And it's either you're keeping Harris and Weidman is seventh, or you're keeping Weidman and Harris is going down and you keep like a Schooneman around because he can stick around as a seventh if you want to keep a guy up there and let Harris get some reps. That's how I would foresee the defense personally. It's more curious about, you can't leave Jonathan Drouin on the line for the whole time. He's going to come in. And who does he come in for?
But yeah.
Right now, he's probably going to change with either Hoffman or Dodonov. That's how I see it. Or maybe Slavkovsky if he really has a bad stretch.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, I think that you could take down Slavkovsky for a bit, sit him down, or you know, you can't really, if you take him off for Dodonov, like, that means you're playing Jonathan Drouin on the fourth line. Like, it's not, it doesn't help him, and it doesn't lend towards his game, right? So I think you just have to insert him on that second line and hope for the best if you really want him in there, or you wait out and you see what happens. I think it's still early to say.
Yeah, what? But at some point you're going to need to showcase, because you're going to either try to move, they're going to try to move Dodonov, and they're going to try to move Hoffman. And I'm from all accounts,
you're going to have to accept that some of these players, they may not be traded, and they might go through waivers, or they just might be given away for free. Okay,
maybe, but they still might go that way. And no team is going to take them without seeing them. Like, that's what I'm saying. He needs to draw in so people can see what he can do.
I'm sure if the Montreal Canadiens, maybe not right now because the cap is pretty rough for a lot of teams, but come Christmas, if the Montreal Canadiens decided to put somebody like Drouin on waivers, a team's going to claim him out of half the pay for this year, for the rest of the year.
It'd be something to see. It'd be unfortunate, frankly. In particular, Drouin, if he gets waivered and someone takes him.
There would be people shitting all over it and just bringing up that Sergachev trade all over again. But, well, remember, I mean, people,
that's not their, management. It's not their fault. It's not their fault, but I mean, yeah, but that's my point, right? I'd like to see Joe play so that he can at least show he's got something there. And then
I agree.
And if he's, you know.
You don't have to play him on game two, though. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like,
let him sit for a week until you start losing some games. And you start, like, look, they won the first game. Let everyone play. I mean, you could pull people out, sure, but why?
Let the kids play until they're gassed out. Let them play. Put the miles on. Let them get their minutes in. Let them get that feeling of being in the NHL until you start noticing that the momentum and the motivation of being in the NHL starts to get to them a little bit. And then you start swapping players out. For now, they're on a high. Let that high keep going until they.
Yeah, listen, again, right? We're talking game one. I mean, it's fun.
Montreal Canadiens are undefeated, baby. Undefeated.
They're at the top of the NHL right now. That's it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful day.
This is
what we do. We look, we scrutinize, and we try to see what things are going to be, and then come back and laugh at how off base we were.
I can't remember the last time we had three young players that are like 6'3" and 6'4" all being prospects there to play and on the team. I can't remember that the last time.
I mean, there's one thing to be Mark Bergevin and go out and get big boys, but they're pylons versus having skill. Big boys that have skill.
You need a little bit of skill.
Away.
Yeah. Listen, it's an interesting time. It's a fun time. I think they play Detroit next, right? On Friday?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so Detroit's next. Detroit, again, another young team, have been dog shit for a long time now, and a team that I would have an eye on that I could theoretically say that it's possible to have beaten in the standings.
Man, there are so many rumors around Detroit and Dylan Larkin right now. Like, what's going to happen with that? Will they be able to extend them and whatnot? That's very interesting going on there.
Well, I think it's, I mean, the most recent story that I kind of been following with Detroit is the Zadina thing. Where he's a healthy scratch now, and everybody's like, "Oh, look at this!" And they took him, and right after him was Quinn Hughes, and da 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 da. And I'm like, "Yep, yep." We also took Kokkinemi, like three picks before him.
That is second line center Kokkinemi on the Carolina Hurricanes.
For now,
don't respect on that name.
for now.
You give respect.
He's on Stanley Cup contending.
Vegas now.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of Stanley Cup contending, I'm out of curiosity. It's game one, so obviously, or rather, it was the first, you know, forget what happened in Europe. It was the opening night for the NHL. Obviously, you guys must have a favorite for the Stanley Cup already. Who is it?
Wow. That's obviously. Why do I
should obviously. I obviously have a obviously you have a you must have a favorite. Who's your favorite? Who's winning the cup this year? So we can mark this down.
You know, I last year I wanted to say Calgary. I was high on Calgary. I was bullish on Calgary again this year. I think they'll do well. I don't think they're there yet. Give Carolina, man, give me Carolina with a healthy goaltender in the playoffs, and I think that they could run some damage. So for me, it'll be the Hurricanes.
KK on line two, soldier. Right? Let's be honest. That's it. Okay.
Matt, you should answer that question next.
Who do I think is going to win the Stanley Cup this year? I think it's fairly obvious.
Fairly obvious?
I think it's fairly obvious. I'm surprised at you guys. I thought this would be an easy consensus. The Stanley Cup this year is going to come back to Canada, and it's going to go to none other than the Edmonton Oilers.
The Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I think this terrible is the year, boys. I think Oil Town is going to bring it home this year. There's something about it. Forget the fact that McDavid came out with a hat trick game one and whatever and all that nonsense. There's something. I don't know. It's just there's something about it. That core of players, and they got Jack Campbell. I'm not huge on Jack Campbell, but I do think he's a decent goalie. I think they're going to go all the way this year.
Better than Mikko Koskinen? Are you sure?
That guy was wow. If there's a goalie that shouldn't have been in the NHL, he was one of them.
Mike Smith. My
God, man, what a terrible tandem last year for Edmonton.
Fresh. Hey, they made the Western Conference final. So who are we to say they're bad?
Yeah, but look at what McDavid and Draisaitl were doing in the playoffs,
and look what they're going to do again this year.
It's an interesting pick.
Go ahead, stop posturing. Who do you got? Dazzle me. Go off the board. Surprise.
What I like in all honesty is that like there's so many teams that like for now, I know it's day one and that's probably why, but there's so many teams that I look at and say like, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if this team won. I wouldn't be surprised if this team won.
You guys are going to call me crazy on this one.
I am.
Oh boy.
Probably. You're gonna call me crazy on this
one. Are we waiting for like the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby, Stanley Cup? Of course.
My God.
It's going to be the last hurrah.
Okay.
The last hurrah. The Pittsburgh Penguins will win the Stanley
Cup. The missing piece was Jeff Petrie. The missing link.
I don't know about that. I just think that the three guys that re-signed and have been there are going to put it all in, put all their chips in one last time, get that Stanley Cup, and be completely gassed out once it's all said and done. And it'll be done.
I don't know.
My honorable mention will be Colorado gets it again, but I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see Colorado repeat.
Well, they're practically the same roster, just that their goalie changed.
Yeah, okay, but it's very hard to repeat.
They're not missing Kadri though. Granted, they're missing Kadri.
Kadri's not there.
It's very hard to repeat too. Like I don't see it. I just don't see it.
And their goaltender was playing really well.
I think that the Rangers are an interesting team as well. I think that that's if Shesterkin
they're my number two pick.
Okay. Calm down over there. Edmonton over the Rangers. And that's interesting.
I think that might be the cup, but I also think I would have taken New York, except I just think that they're maybe a year away from like really.
Yeah, being I agree.
True Edmonton powerhouse
in the Pittsburgh final.
Edmonton final.
Always hates my picks. Always.
Because they always happen to have something to do with the two jerseys that are in back view.
love those guys.
Bias is your middle name.
I don't know. I don't know if I see that.
You could grab Crosby and send them to another team, and I would have gone for that team. No, I'm kidding.
We understand. We understand you're a fan. Okay, that's interesting. So, I mean, I'm also curious, I mean, to our listeners out there, obviously it's fun and clearly it's a silly thing to do at this point, game one. But comment, please. We'd like to know who you guys have right now as your Stanley Cup chess for this year. We'd like to see, and maybe we'll gather all the results and talk about it in the next podcast to see if there's some sort of consensus out there. If all of a sudden everybody's coming out of the woodworks telling me.
We're going to get so many dislikes on YouTube.
Obviously, it's the Ottawa Senators, right? Clearly, the summer of Pierre Dorion is the super team. Obviously, they're going to be the Stanley Cup champion. Yeah, I mean, listen, let's Let's see what happens.
It's funny. No love from Florida from you guys. Last year, so high on Florida.
Yeah,
respect them. They're the president trophy winners.
Their defense took a major hit.
Finally, come across to the what I had said it from the beginning.
Their defense took a major hit.
No. That first round pick from them is looking mighty sexy to me, at least today. Who knows? Maybe they have another great year. It's possible. Maybe Spencer Knight ascends, takes over from Bobrovsky, and he stands on his head. Maybe Officer Bobrovsky is back to his Vezina winning days, and they're fantastic. I don't know. Maybe up front, you know, the Tkachuk there now, everything's great. I don't know. I truly don't know. But something in me is telling me that this team is not going to succeed. I know some people are like, oh, they won't make playoffs. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But I do not see them going far this year. And I very much like the fact that we got there first. I like it. I like it quite a bit. I like it even more because we gave them Bencherot for it.
And in turn, they didn't re-sign Bencherot, so
we'll be seeing Big Ben on Friday.
That's right.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But perfect. Well, gents, I think we're gonna call our episode there. And again, right, we're riding that high, that first win. It was sweet against the Leafs. It was exciting. I think we're all in agreement. I think everybody listening must be in agreement, too, that, like, just give us more of that, man. Win, lose, it doesn't really matter. We want to see, like Kent Hughes says, we want to see progression with all the players. We want to see everybody taking the next step individually. And we want entertaining hockey. Give us entertaining hockey. And
I would like to thank the Philadelphia Flyers organization for passing up on Cole Caulfield and choosing Cam York instead. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You guys, you're a great organization. Thank you.
It's a joke of an organization there as well. Hired John Tortorella. What are you doing? What are you doing?
We'll talk about that next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please, as always, check us out on our social medias, the Instagrams, the Twitters. Check us out. You can find our link tree on Twitter, of course, for everywhere that we can go. We post all of our updates as often as we can. We comment throughout the games. We love to interact with you guys and shoot the breeze. So please, at any time, shoot us some comments, drop some likes and stuff on the video. For Dave, Vito, I'm Matt. And, of course, this was Get Pucked.